In Din Expects Shin Olam, I was told that in this time slot, not to get too excited about anyone coming. Baruch Hashem, happy to see that people are here. You heard this here on Shabbos already. I'm sorry. Had I known, I would have. Chazara. Let's go back to Shabbos, I guess. Since you mentioned Shabbos, let's go back to Shabbos. I was thinking a few moments ago, already in Eretz Yisrael, it's Tisha B'Av. It's a wild idea. I think Sefer Halacha deal with the question of what we could be learning at this point of the day. Chafetz Chaim was knowing, he brings a Bir Halacha, that even B'Mos HaChol, even when Tisha B'Av was during the weekday, he would learn whatever he wanted at this time period. Yeah, there are many others who felt that at this point we should only be learning in Yanim that are connected to Tisha B'Av. Different shitos. Certainly there's plenty of Tisha B'Av things to discuss. But I think part of the idea that the Halacha is reflecting by telling us that we need to be Osek and in Yanei Tisha B'Av, those who are knowing that way, at this point of the day, is because there are parts of the world, at least for us, from a Chutz La'aretz perspective, right? In Eretz Yisrael, it's already Tisha B'Av. Eretz Yisrael, Tisha B'Av is here. So look, we still hope that the Mashiach is going to come. Once we're in, it started already. I'm not sure. Right? But to try to connect ourselves to those Jews already in Arzeinu HaKadosh, who already Osek and Tisha B'Av, already heard it, Migilas Eicha, feeling the pain and the harshness of this day. I don't know if anyone heard what the title, the topic of the shiur is. The title of the shiur is Learning to Live with the Questions. Because whenever we think about Tisha B'Av, you think about Chorban, you think about tragedy, you think about Jews who are hurting, you think about difficulties, whether it's Bechlal or Beprat. When a Yid is in a lot of pain, we often have questions. We don't understand why Kadosh Baruch Hu does what he does. Why is it that Hashem put us into a particular situation? And the truth is, as Torah Jews, we don't shy away from questions. If I asked everyone here, why do we do mitzvahs? Pashup shot. Level one, why do we do mitzvahs? So the answer is, the truest answer is, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said so. We're almost it's crazy that we're so close to Elul. I'm sure many of us will still be in camp during Elul, which is a bit of a chiddush. Right, we start to blow the shofar. When the Rambam describes in Hilchos Teshuva in the third parak, Halacha Dalet, what is the message of Tkiyah Shofar? Why do we blow a shofar? Says the Rambam, Afal pish Tkiyah Shofar, Barash Hashanah Gezeres HaKasuf, Remez Yeshva, Klomar, Ur Yesheinim Yesheinaschem, Vinir Davim Mekitzum Mitir Demoseichem, wake up you sleepy Jews. That's the part that we catch when we read this Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva. A Jew has to wake himself up to the sound of the shofar. But that's not what the Rambam said. The Rambam said, "Afal pisha tkiyah shofar Rosh Hashanah gezeres hakasuv." If someone stops you on the street and says, "Why do we blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah?" The answer is because the Torah says so, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu says so. Like Rambam often writes in Perash HaMishnah, it's a beautiful lashon. Or Gedaliah points it out. We don't just say that the Torah says so. You look at the Rambam in the Perash HaMishnah. Sometimes he says, "Amar Hashem yisvach." It's an interesting way to talk. We always say the Torah says. Hashem says. It's gezeres hakasuv. Kadosh Baruch Hu says so. Says the Rambam, okay, Rem is Yeshbo. Yes, the shofar is a wake-up call to a Judah to better himself, right? But Pashup Shat, the starting point of every mitzvah, and in many ways the ending point of every mitzvah, is Gezeras HaMelech. Kadosh Baruch Hu says it has to be so. I'm sure we've all heard the story in some variation. Baal Shem Tov had a Baal Tokeya, Rav Zev Kitzis, Rav Wolf Kitzis. And he prepared one year to blow the shofar with all the kavanos of the Arizal, all the deep Kabbalistic Kavanos, which are all very good things, they bring down a Shefa to Klal Yisrael. And he was nervous that if Chas HaShalom he should mix up being Mechave and different Shemos and all sorts of things that are way beyond us. He was nervous if he were to mess up those Kavanos, right, he could, who knows what he could affect in the outer spheres. So what did he do? So he took notes. He wrote down notes of the different Kavanos he should have. Tkia, Trua. Right, what happened? It comes time for Tkia Shofar. Rav Zev Kitzis gets up to blow the shofar. He's flipping through his mouth, so his notes are gone. He's totally broken. He prepared. Here he is. All the kavanos. He's going to bring Yeshua to Klal Yisrael. Baal Shem Tov says, blow the shofar. I can't. Blow the shofar. So he gets up and he blows the shofar. He's very broken. Baal Shem Tov comes to him, of course, as the story goes, after Yom Tov, after Rosh Hashanah, and says, that shofar blowing was the greatest shofar blowing you ever did. But the kavanos. So he says to him, what are kavanos? He says, imagine there's a locked door and a person wants to get inside. Right? So you need a key, or you need the password, you need the combination. That's what kavanos are. It unlocks the doors that are locked. There's another way to get through the door. What's the other way to get through the door? You take an axe and you smash down the door. He says, when you blew the shofar with that broken heart, from the depths of your being, you smash down the door. That's how the story is usually told. But I think based on this Rambam and Hilchos Teshuvah, we have a better understanding of it. Why was the shofar blowing such a great shofar blowing? Because he thought, if I could do all the kavanos, and I could do all the this and the that, that's going to make a good shofar blow. Rambam says, you know the best way to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah? It's simply because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says so, without any kavanos. But there's just a broken heart that a yid's supposed to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, so we blow the shofar. But you see that the Rambam, at least, if we at least understand level one, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says so, the Rambam says there is a level two. Level two, Remez Yeshba. A Jew is supposed to try to understand Tamei HaMitzvos. There's nothing wrong with that. And I'll go to the Rambam in Hilchos Temura. The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Temura, you have to really read this Rambam with the Rambam in Hilchos Me'ila also at the end. He references it here. Like I explained to you in Me'ila, I think it's Paraches, Halacha Ches, that a person is supposed to do mitzvahs because there's an Elch, Kadosh Baruch Hu said so. Says the Rambam, even though the essence of mitzvahs is Gezeros HaKasuv, Gezeros HaMelech, Ro'oi Lizbonin Behen, V'chol Masha'ata Yochol Litein Lotam Tein Lotam. A Jew is supposed to think about mitzvahs. You're supposed to try to figure out the reasons for the mitzvahs. Sefer HaChinuch, when he brings Sharshei HaMitzvos, that's a very valuable thing. If you're interested in why he uses the term Sharshei HaMitzvos, you look in Rav Shechter's, I think in Nefesh HaRav or Mipnina HaRav, he explains why he uses that term to the Tamei HaMitzvos, Sharshei HaMitzvos. But the Rambam says a person should think about mitzvos. We should ask questions. We should try to understand. Shlomo HaMelech understood almost every aspect of Torah there is to understand. Okay, he didn't understand Paraduma. Moshe Rabbeinu understood Paraduma. He swore into secrecy. That was very painful. Maybe Yomo says maybe Moshe understood Paraduma. Okay, not going to mess with Yomo. Anyone who knows Yomo knows, understands that. Right? But a Jew should try to understand mitzvos. Rambam says he should try. Shlomo HaMelech spend time trying to understand mitzvos. We're encouraged to try to understand mitzvos. Rav Victor Miller wrote a lot of very brilliant svarim. A lot of people read Rav Victor Miller's svarim. They should. People read svarim about Rav Victor Miller. No one reads the svarim they actually wrote, like in the 1960s. So Rav Victor Miller wrote a sefer by the title Rejoice, O Youth. Very brilliant sefer. It's a conversation between an elderly Talmud Chacham and this young burnt-out yeshiva guy that he meets on a park bench. What happens? He comes over and he sits down and this kid starts unloading his feelings onto this great sage. It's called the sage in the youth. In the dialogue there, Victor Miller writes for us. And he says, after this young man presents his whole, you know, all of his feelings, the sage says to him, to sum up, your problems come under four headings. Basically, you have four major issues with life. The urge towards true achievement. You want to have a meaningful life. You want to have a meaningful life. Number two, the need for confidence in your future. The longing for the pleasure of life, and the quest for knowledge of the truth, which includes the interpretation of history. Young man, you have listed the problems of all mankind. Okay? So now listen to what the youth says back to him. And it's so true, this is such a true conversation that happens. The youth says back to him, then permit me, sir, to utilize my meeting with you to discuss these matters. Meaning, they threw me out of yeshiva because I was asking too many questions, so can I feel comfortable talking to you about this? And what does the sage say back to him? It's exactly what the Rambam says. A person has a right to explore and to try to understand the mitzvah. There's nothing wrong with that. You have to do it, obviously, with an understanding that Gezeiros HaKasuv, because Baruch Hu says so. But we have a right. We're supposed to try to understand mitzvahs. And the sage says back to him, gladly, discussion is the pickaxe which uncovers the truth from the mountain of error under which it is buried. If you want to understand the total reality of the universe, so then, yeah, we need to discuss things. It's that same pickaxe, that same axe that broke down the door by Rav Zev Kitz's Tkiyas Shofar. Klal Yisrael are encouraged to ask questions. And I'll even go so far as to say that when a person lives their life without asking questions, ki'ilu, it's not a life. Many of us, those of us who are in Shiva Sabrina Yisrael Hanan this past year, learned about Metzia. Everyone knows, even if you didn't learn about Metzia recently, I'm sure most of us know the story of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, or Metzia Pei Dalet. Reish Lakish was a highway robber, a bandit. Rav Yochanan was Mekayim to Torah, use your strength for Torah, and he becomes his Chavrusa. And one time Rav Yochanan insulted him and Reish Lakish died and Rav Yochanan was terribly broken. Why was he so broken? Rav Yochanan said, when I used to learn with Reish Lakish, he used to bombard me with questions. Rav Yochanan tried to find another Chavrusa, but he was bringing proofs for everything he said. And Rav Yochanan eventually died from the pain of not having that struggle of the questions. A Jew has to live with the questions. to us to be interested in asking the questions and exploring the questions. If we think of a Jewish holiday, we think of a Yom Tov, a Moed, that focuses on questions. Nus, what's Yom Tov of questions? Pesach. Pesach is the Yom Tov of questions. Pesach, we ask all the questions. Manish Tana, right? Four questions. So much so, the Halacha says, you don't have anyone to ask the questions, you ask the questions to yourself. Baruch Hashem, I've never had a Pesach Seder by myself. I don't know the experience of probably a very funny conversation to ask the questions to yourself. But you have to ask the questions. You have to ask the questions. Rabbi Gamliel says, it's incorporated into the Gadda, straight out of the Mishnayos and Pesachim. Anyone who doesn't say Pesach Matzah Maror hasn't filled their obligation, says the Gadda, Pesach Matzah Maror al Shum Ma. A question. What's it about? Pesach, what's it about? Matzah, what's it about? Maror, what's it about? Rabbi Chaim Brisker, the famous question about Zechiras Yisias Mitzrayim versus Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim. Chaim Brisker's answers, the Rav's answers. One of the famous answers, what's the difference between the daily mitzvah of Zechiras Yisias Mitzrayim and the special, unique mitzvah of Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim and the Leil of Pesach? One of the answers that's brought, Rav of Chaim Brisker, different nuschos of exactly who sent this idea, but it has to be in a question-answer format. Zechiras Yisias Mitzrayim, you have to mention that there's a concept called Mitzrayim. But when it comes to what? When it comes to the Seder, when it comes to the mitzvah of Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim, it needs to be in a question-answer format. It's a night of questions. You know, it becomes almost silly. It's almost a joke at the Pesach Seder. That any time there's a question, right? So we can always use the default answer. What's the refrain of the Seder night? To get the children to ask. No matter what, to get the children to ask. Why are we drinking two cups of Kiddush before we make a motzi? To get the children to ask. Why are we dipping? Why are we washing before we eat a vegetable? To get the children to ask. Why are we leaning? To get the children to ask. To get the children to ask. That becomes the standard refrain on the Leil HaSeder. I remember last year, Erev Pesach, of course, is a tough day. And from the time of Biur Chametz, so you actually get to eat some. By the time you dip that potato and eat it, it's like the biggest mechai in the world. Right? And you still have to be careful not to eat a kazayas thing, get a whole suffix. It's the biggest, the greatest thing in the world. So Erev Pesach, you're trying to find something to eat. I was very hungry last year. And I found a bag of, you know, basically you're surviving off of like potato sticks maybe, right? Something to drink maybe. So I found we had a bag of kosher LePesach marshmallows. So I stuck them in my pocket and I was sustaining myself throughout the day eating these marshmallows every, you know, my little energy boosts throughout the day. My daughter, the Havaliba, comes over to me. She sees her daddy has a big thing of marshmallows in his pocket. And she says, "Daddy, can I have a marshmallow, please?" So I said, "Sure, Zav, you can have a marshmallow." So I give her a marshmallow. She runs off, goes to play, comes back a few minutes later, "Daddy, can I please have another marshmallow?" "Okay, can I have another marshmallow? You made a bracha so beautifully, can I have another marshmallow?" "That's the last marshmallow." She runs off, she comes back 5 minutes later, "Daddy, can I have another marshmallow?" "Can one more, please, one more marshmallow?" "Sahava, I told you, that was it. The second marshmallow is your last marshmallow." So she's sharp, so she says to me, she says, "I don't understand. So unfair." She says, "Why do you get to eat as many marshmallows as you want?" So I said, "Sahava, Daddy gets to do whatever he wants to get the children to ask. You can do whatever you want. Right, you can go with any crazy question to get the children to ask. As long as it's to get the children to ask, anything goes." Right? This is the theme of the night of questions. But it doesn't stop with the questions. We'd be wrong if we said that Pesach is a night of questions, because like Rav Chaim said, it's questions and answers. It's a question-answer format. The goal of the night of the Leil HaSeder is that we should ask the questions, but that we should come to resolutions. Right, the answers are sometimes hard to understand. Manish Tana, what do we answer? Avadim Ayinu. Right, so the various agados are working. What's the answer of Avadim Ayinu? How is that an answer to the questions? Right, so you have to work through it to figure out what the answer is. Pesach, Matzah, Maror, Ashum Ma, what's it about? The agado spells out. Matzah, because of this. Maror, because of this. Right, it spells out the answers in a very clear way. And the whole avoda of the night is that a parent sits with a child, and the children can ask any question they want on this night of Amuna. And the hope is that we can answer every question, and the child walks away from the Leil HaSeder feeling inspired, feeling that he had the opportunity to ask some of the harder questions that maybe the Rebbeim or the Morot in school wouldn't allow this young little inquisitive child to ask. And you walk away, the night of Amunah. You feel strengthened. You believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have questions, we have answers. Gevaldik. But how does the Haggadah end? How does this magical night, questions, of answers, of strengthening one's Amunah, commitment to Yiddishkeit, how does the whole thing end? So I'll share with you an amazing insight from Moshe Wolfson. Moshe Wolfson was a Mashkiach in Torah Vadas for many years. He's a Rav in Borough Park now. Amunas Yisrael is his shul. Amunas Yitecha is the name of his sefer, the name of his svar. But Wolfson points out something fascinating. The Haggadah ends with Chagiga. Nice little song. his fellow goes out, he saves him some money, he buys a goat. And what happens? There's this horrible alley cat, this vicious alley cat that comes and it consumes the goat. It attacks the goat and eats the goat. Innocent, sweet little Chad Gadya. So what happens? Baruch Hashem, there's a dog standing by as the cat is attacking the goat. Dog standing by the fire hydrant or whatever, taking care of his business. And the dog says, this is an injustice. This is horrible. I'm not going to allow this to happen. So the dog comes to restore the mishpat, like we read in the Torah this past week's parsha, right? To restore the mishpat. It's a kabbalistic thing. The dog comes, and what does he do? He says, I'm going to stand up for my friend the goat. And he goes and he saves Chad Gadya, Chad Gadya. Well, what the dog didn't realize that the cat also has a chevra. Right? The stick comes out, and the stick starts attacking. And now everyone starts to take sides. You see this whole brawl developing. But do you see where we're going? Cesar Wilson, follow it through. The Chassam Sof already asked this question. Follow it through step by step. The goat is an innocent goat. The goat is good. So when the cat attacks the goat, the cat is bad. So the dog who comes to defend the goat is good. The stick is bad, which means the fire is good, which means the water is bad, which means when the ox comes and drinks the water that put out the fire, the water is bad, so the ox did the right thing. So when the shochet comes and slaughters the ox, the shochet is out of line. So when the Malach HaMavis comes, and takes away the neshama of that shochet, the Malach HaMavis is doing his job. Which means, Chas V'Shalom, what's the last step? Kadosh Baruch Hu is bad. Kadosh Baruch Hu is bad. Follow that again. The goat is good, the cat is bad. The dog is good, the stick is bad. The fire is good, the water is bad. The ox is good, the slaughter is bad. The shochet is bad. The Malach HaMavis is a good guy, and Chas V'Shalom comes out of Kadosh Baruch Hu is bad, and that's how we end the night of Amunah. The night of questions and answers. The night where everyone child should walk away from the Seder table feeling inspired. We say to kids, okay, Shkayach, end of the Seder, Kadosh Baruch Hu is bad. That's how we want to end the Seder. This is the way to instill a moon in Klal Yisrael. It's a very significant question. Now, the kid goes off, you remind the kid as he's like very confused and stepping away from the beautiful Seder table which he enjoyed so much until that final moment where he chopped this question, this unanswerable question. And you say to the kid, you know, don't forget to not brush your teeth, so you wake up with that matzah taste lingering in your mouth. And the kid gets into bed and he says, now I chop, why we don't say a full Kriyash Ma'alamita, because I'm like so confused. My emunah has been rattled. Right? What's the pshat? How do you end the night of a emunah with such a question on the Rabbona Shalom? So I told you the Chassam Sofer asked this question, so let's try to answer with a story from the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer was the Gadol HaDor. Moshe Sofer. I just taught earlier today a piece from the Chassan Sofer. Chassan Sofer was the grandson of the Chassan Sofer, Shmuel Ehrenfeld. You know why he called the Sefer Chassan Sofer? Chassan stands for Chidushei Torah Neched Sofer. Meaning, I'm not my own person, I'm just the grandson of the Chassan Sofer. Or Moshe Sofer is like, right? I'm just the grandson. The Chassan Sofer was the Gadol HaDor. Chassan Sofer's son once came to him with the following kasha. And it wasn't a kasha, you know, or a shayla. Where's that Maimur Chazal? Because Chassan Sofer knew all Shas, all Medrash. He could tell you the Makor for anything, anywhere. And it wasn't, you know, I have a Rambam here and a Rambam there, and I don't know how to work out the Rambams. It wasn't that type of kasha. He came with a philosophical question. The type of question that it's presented as if, answer this question or else. That was the type of question. Chassan Sofer's own son comes to his father. His father's Chassan Sofer, nothing to worry about. He sits down with his father and he asks this really stark philosophical question. Chassan Sofer is looking at him with this blank look on his face. I don't know. So he says, what do you mean you don't know? Moshe Sofer. The Chassam Sofer. What do you mean you don't know? He says, closes his eyes, thinks, I don't have an answer. And the Chassam Sofer's son walked out of the room feeling very, very broken. A major Amunah Shaila walks out. My father doesn't know no one knows. 3 days later, the Chassam Sofer calls his son. He summons him to his private study. He sits him down. And he says, let's talk about your question. And he goes through the question piece by piece, line by line, dissecting it with the utmost clarity, so much so that at the end, his son says, I can't believe I ever even thought it was a question. And as he gets up to leave with a huge smile on his face, Chassam Sofer says to him, I want you to know, when you walked in to ask me this question 3 days ago, of course I had the answer. Chassam Sofer, of course I had the answer. That's in my tongue. He said, but I wanted to teach you. I wanted to teach you a yesod that a Jew has to know how to live with. And that is, a Jew can live with the question. A Jew can live with the question. If God forbid we have a question on the Rabbona Shalom, right? It doesn't overturn the Torah. It doesn't overturn our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yiddishkeit doesn't stop just because a person has a question. Says Rav Moshe Wolfson, why does the Haggadah end the way that it does? Says Rav Wolfson in the Emunah Titecha by the Moadim, Kol Leil HaPesach, in Yanu L'Kvoa Emunah B'Lev HaBanim Ayidei Sipur HaNiflaus. We spend the whole night trying to develop a passion for the Rabbona Shul. Achilas Matzah, the Mechla Demamnusa, like the Zohar calls it, the food of Emunah. It's all about Emunah. We drink the Dalit Kosos, we recite the Halel, Kol Eila Chubur Yachtav B'Leil Yiskadish Chag L'Kvoa Emunah B'Lev HaBanim. That we should etch Emunah into the neshamos of our children, Yased Bal Yimot La'olam, in the most ultimate permanent way. When it's all over and the kid's feeling really good, inspired, my emunah has been strengthened, Kadosh Baruch Hu is so real, I can point, Zakeli Van Veyo, I can see a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kiviyachol, when it's all said and done, Omer Lo HaMaisa Shalchad Gadya, V'Nesor Beben Kushya, Lelokeinu Sheshachar HaSamalach HaLo Chamas. And you work out the math of Chad Gadya, you say the question on the Rabbona Shul, what did the Malach Mavis do wrong? Just follow the story. We leave the night with a question on the table. After a night of developing one's connection with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, where you ask questions, we answered most of the questions. And we ate and we said halal together. After such a night, you're not going to be broken by a question. Your emunah can carry you through. We try to give as many answers as we can on the Seder night, but we leave with a message that a Jew can live with the question. I don't know how many of you have heard of Rav David Gottlieb. David Gottlieb is a senior lecturer at Or Sameach in Yerushalayim. Rav Gottlieb in his younger years was not religious. Went to Brandeis University, got a PhD in mathematical logic. Then he was a professor in Johns Hopkins, professor of philosophy in Johns Hopkins University. Got a doctorate in the 1970s. His thesis was the use of formal systems in logic and mathematics. Whatever that means. To me, it just means that he was more boring before he was from. And now he's much more interesting. I don't know what that is. Maybe some of you are interested in that. I'm sorry, I don't want to insult anyone. But when Rav David Gottlieb was in Brandeis, and he started to explore, he was a thinking person. Now he's a Rebbe guy in a long white beard. Go look at a picture of him. You hear him speak. He's a genius. When he was first becoming from, he went to the Boston Rebbe, Brandeis University. Went to the Boston Rebbe with a list of 10 questions. Very difficult, you can imagine. Someone like his mind. Very, very difficult questions. And the Boston Rebbe said, I'm happy to answer your questions, but we don't do questions until we learn. If a Jew doesn't learn Torah, right do I have to ask a question? I don't know anything. I'm ignorant to the reality of the universe. I don't know Torah. So what? Where's the starting point for the questions? Let's sit, let's learn. And we're done learning. So they used to learn together. After a period of time, the Boston Rebbe said, "Nu, you still have questions?" So he said, 3 questions remain. Okay. So he wrote up his questions and he submitted them to the Boston Rebbe. And the Boston Rebbe looked at his questions, responded to the first one, okay, second one, and he folded up the paper and handed it back. And he says, Rabbi, there's a 3rd question on there. So he says to him, a Jew doesn't die from a question. With 1 question you can live. It's not that I can't answer this last question, but you have to come into Yiddishkeit, into Torah Judaism, with an understanding that a Jew can live with a question. That's how the Pesach Seder ends. The night of Emunah, we leave it with a question on the table. So at this point you're wondering, what does any of this have to do with the time period in which we find ourselves? So I'd like to suggest the following. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. I want to say a simple vart, and I hope it's emes. It's my own thought, you'll tell me if it's any good. Orach Ayin, Simin Tav Chaf Ches, chapter 428 of the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Gimel. Very strange halacha. Shulchan Aruch brings, Rav Yosef Karo brings, a remez for the Kviyas HaMoadim. If you want to remember the calendar date of various Moadim, here's how you remember it. At, Bash, Aleph goes with Taf, Beis with Shin, Gimel with Resh, the system of Osios, Gamachios. What does it mean? Perish, says the Shulchan Aruch. Aleph, the first day of Pesach, the night of the Seder, corresponds to Taf, corresponds to Tisha B'Av. That means the same day of the week that we celebrate Pesach is the same day of the week where we're going to have Tisha B'Av. The first night of Pesach corresponds to Tisha B'Av. Beis, Shin. The second day of Pesach corresponds to Shavuos, Gimel, Resh, etc., etc. This is the way to remember the Moad. Very strange simon the Shulchan Aruch brings. What's the link? What's the link between the Leil HaSeder, the night where we sit right? Feeling so connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Zohar describes the Malachim come down, the letter, the famous letter from the Pian Zatz Rebbe to his Talmidim, describing what it's like, how the angels are jealous of us, the closest we feel to Kadosh Baruch Hu on that night. How can you compare such an elevated, lofty night of connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu? How do we begin to compare that to the broken state of Klal Yisrael on Tisha B'Av? The Beitza, the Seder plate, some say it's Rami's Tavelis. What's going on? What is this strange connection, this very strange connection between Pesach and Tisha B'Av? And I think the answer is as follows. Where Pesach ends, Tisha B'Av begins. Where Pesach ends, Tisha B'Av begins. Pesach is Aleph, it's a starting point. Tisha B'Av is as low as you can get. But where Pesach ends, Tisha B'Av begins. There's a link between the Aleph and the Tav. What does that mean? It means that Pesach, we spend the whole night asking questions and answering questions, trying to come up with the best answers that a child, that any person, any Jew, should walk away from the Pesach Seder having all of the answers. Then we come to Tisha B'Av, we pick up right where the Seder ended off, with that question of Chag Gadya, that question that's unanswerable. We come to Tisha B'Av and it's kulo questions. Tisha B'Av is all questions. If the Ribbono Shel Olam loves Klal Yisrael so much, so why do you make a Churban? Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu make pogroms? Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu make the Holocaust? Why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu make very good people, at least by our estimation, suffer so much? It's all questions. There's no answers. It's all questions. But I think that's the godless of Tisha B'Av. Because if after the night of Pesach, we can have a gula, we can have the root of gula rooted in Pesach, but it's an imperfect gula, it's a partial gula. A partial gula comes about where a Jew is willing to live with a little bit of a question. If you want the complete gula, you have to be willing to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I have a lot of questions, and I'm prepared to live with all of them. They say from Rav Yitzchak Berditchev, my Manish Tana used to cry every year. He'd break down crying and he'd say, Ribbono Shel Olam, you think I only have four questions for you? Hey, I only have four questions. I have 4 million questions for you. The only things that happen in Klal Yisrael's history or in our personal lives, we have so many questions for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why did I have to be in that particular situation? Why did my friend, why did my sibling, why did my this, why did my that? So many people hurting in so many different ways. But when we're willing to live with all of the questions, the Tisha B'Av, where we don't have the answers, then we can be zocha to the Gula Shleima. I want to tell you a personal story. I came up to Camp Marasha a couple weeks ago. At this point, Baruch Hashem, we're blessed with 3 children, I have 3 daughters. The car is very full. It's not shaykh to bring all of our stuff anymore. So I got together with some chevra, some guys who are in the BMP, some other people working on main campus, and we chipped in together to rent the U-Haul. I was going the morning, Wednesday morning, to come up to camp. I went that morning to pick up the U-Haul. I live in Bergenfield, New Jersey. I had to get onto Route 4 heading towards the George Washington Bridge. It was about 8:15, 8:30 in the morning, which is probably the worst time ever to be trying to head. I had to go towards the bridge, get off at Fort Lee, come back around onto the other side of Route 4, and pick up the U-Haul from some little quickie mart on the side of the road. Okay. So I'm working my way. Yomo was saying, why don't you take the streets? Okay. Not as smart as you, Yomo. So there I am, and I was hoping, when I drive into yeshiva, every morning I usually go around that time, I never have trouble. Okay, so this day I happen to have trouble. My friend was nice enough to drive me. My friend has an old, you know, Hamish car that's on its last leg. But he always does chesed with his car, with the hope that Kadosh Baruch Hu will, you know, if you use your car in the right way to help others, Kadosh Baruch Hu will make sure your car keeps going. I have a kid's book like that at home, The Car That Goes Far. They always use your car for chesed. Anyway, so I'm sitting in the car with my friend, and he's so patient, I said, I'm so sorry, the traffic, we should have taken the streets. At that point, I realized. And we're getting so close, I could see the exit for Fort Lee, where you have to get off and just turn around. And it's backed up, and we're right there. I went to Chas V'Shalom taking the shoulder all the way down, but like, we have to just get over for like a second, and we'll get out of everyone's way, it'll be good for everyone. We pull it, should we do it? I don't know, maybe it's not right. It's no big deal, it's good for everyone. We pull it to the shoulder, all of a sudden a cop steps out, pulls us over. And I'm feeling horrible. My friend's driving. Okay, pulls over. He's doing the tough guy cop thing. But a decent guy. License. Okay, license check. Now shaking a little bit. Registration, a little pacha. All right, registration, no problem. Insurance card. My friend's looking around in his glove compartment. Insurance card. Hold on. Okay, I'll go to my car. I'll come back. Comes back 5 minutes later. Nothing, no insurance card. So at this point, I'm feeling like really bad. Like, oh, it's all my fault. Anyways, what happens? The cop comes back. He's like, I would have let you go, but you didn't have the insurance card, so I'm giving you a ticket for not having the insurance card. And I'm so upset. Here I am, you know. I feel so bad. I offered to pay for it. He's like, no, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. Okay, and he's very positive. You know, Gamz Latova, it's meant to be. Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world. And I'm thinking like, oh, but if we would have just, right? I'm making foolish cheshbonos, like a baser v'adam. Anyways, what happens? He goes home, his father gives him the insurance card, he calls me this week. He says, you're not going to believe what happened. So what happened? He said he was driving on the highway, and all of a sudden, a U-Haul, someone else driving a U-Haul, crashed into his car. It was totally the other guy's fault. The other guy's going to have to pay for everything. He says, but Baruch Hashem, had we not gotten that ticket, I never would have had the insurance card. I would have had such a mess with that accident had I not known that I was missing the insurance card. So here I was, sitting on the side of the road, getting this ticket for not having the insurance card, beating myself up, saying, oh, if I would have done this, I would have done that. All these questions. Rabbeinu Shlomo, my friend's doing chesed. He's helping me out. You can't help him out. You have to have that mean cop setting us up, waiting for people to say, we're going right there to Fort Lee. I wasn't even trying to go out and come back in. We were going right there. Right? Rabbeinu Shlomo says, just wait. There's an answer. The answers will come. He's doing a chesed to help you get a U-Haul truck. Another U-Haul is going to hit him, and Baruch Hashem, he's going to have his insurance card. It's going to save him big time. When we're mature enough, when we're smart enough to trust the Rabbeinu Shlomo, to live with the questions, and again, we have a lot of questions, to have that yishuv adas like my friend had when I was all bent out of shape, then a Kodesh Baruch Hu can give us real answers, can give us real gula. Then we clap al chet. One of the al chets that we say by the Yom Naram, al chet shechatanu lefnecha b'timon levav. By having too many questions. Tzvi Pesach Frank, there's a small sefer called Shvivei Or. There's a beautiful explanation, but I'll just say Pashut. B'timon levav means, not that I have questions of the Rabbeinu Shlomo, not that I'm trying to understand the Rambam says, try to understand everything about the Rabbeinu Shlomo, like Shlomo HaMelech. But I'm foolish. Al chet shechatanu lefnecha, that the questions bothered me too much. That I couldn't live with the questions. I blocked the Geula Shlema because I wasn't comfortable trusting a Kodesh Baruch Hu that he knows what he's doing. The Bava Rebbe, the late Bava Rebbe, Hashem Yikom Damo, Rebbe Tzion, one time was playing dreidel on Hanukkah with his grandson, Rebbe Naftali, sitting there playing dreidel. And little Naftali spins the dreidel, lands on a gimbal, takes the pot. Spins again, lands on a hay, takes half. He's all excited, he's got a good streak going. Spins it again, and as the dreidel lands, his grandfather puts his hand over the dreidel. And he says to him, it doesn't matter what the dreidel lands on. The ikkar is not what the dreidel lands on. The ikkar is that you pick it up and you spin it again. Chaisah is ups and downs. We have things that we get and understand about the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us. We have things that we don't even begin to understand about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts with us. But when we're mature enough to say, I'm going to pick up and I'm going to go on because I know that there are answers, then we set ourselves up to allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us those answers, to bring that guru. And I think this is really the whole secret of Tisha B'Av. Because in Tisha B'Av, what does the Gemara say in Tanis? You cried for no reason, I'll give you something to cry about. What do you mean they cried for no reason? That's a very good question. On what it means for the Meraglim to take them, right, to go into Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim raised some significant questions. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's okay to be nervous, it's okay to have a question, but you were broken by it. You were broken by the questions. You didn't trust me that I knew what I was doing. You can have a question, but you can also function. When you broke down crying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't get it. You don't understand that I'm in charge. You have too many questions of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. You're broken by the questions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I need to explain to you more clearly, right, how I work. That's the last thing that we want. I'll just end. I saw there's a book that they put out. It's called From Berlin to Slobodka. And in this book, interesting, Meisim tells a story, the Alter Slobodka. Slobodka. When Rav Eliyahu Lopian first came to the Slobodka Yeshiva, he gave a fiery Musar Shmuz in front of the Alter Slobodka, in front of all the Talmidim. A fiery ripped into them. And the Alter Slobodka came over to Rav Eliyahu Lopian afterwards. He said, Chutzpah, how dare you speak to these Talmidim that way? These are the finest Talmidim. These are the finest, most sensitive B'nai Torah, Talmidei Chacham. How dare you get up and rip into them like that? And Rav Hubner, who was a young man in Slobodka at the time, turns to the Alter Slobodka and he says, Rebbe, I just have one question. I was watching you the entire time that Rav Eliyahu was speaking. I was watching you. And you were so moved by his speech. I saw there were tears rolling down your face. The entire Musar Shmuz resonated with you so deeply. So what? I don't understand. Now you're coming over and you're saying, how dare you give such a Musar Shmuz? Clearly it was a very powerful and meaningful Musar Shmuz. I could see it on you. And the Alter Slobodka said back to Rav Hubner, as a young man at the time, he said, a thing in its opposite, contradiction, steros. He says, these things are amongst the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. To be able to live with the question. I can be moved by it, I can feel it, and at the same time, I can also know that there's another way to look at it. When we have questions on Tisha B'Av, and the Rav, by the way, held, that not only can you ask questions on the Rabbeinu Shlomo on Tisha B'Av, that you have a chiyuv to ask questions. You have an obligation. have an obligation to challenge the Ribono Shel. You can listen. You want to listen to 12 Hours of the Rav at 613.org. In 12 Hours of the Rav, I'll explain it to you. I'll show it to you in the Kinos and in the Eicha. Right, the progression of challenging the Ribono Shel, asking questions of the Ribono Shel. We're supposed to ask questions. And we have a lot of contradictions. Ribono Shel, I don't understand. Sometimes you love us, sometimes you hate us. What's going on? Right? But to be able to be comfortable, to live in that dual reality, to feel the pain and to ask the questions in a real way, but to not, chas v'shalom, to be broken by it. Baal Tanya and Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev were one time walking. And they came to a wall. And Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev said to the Baal Tanya, he said, let's just walk straight through the wall. Baal Tanya said, what does that mean? So Rav Levi Yitzchak says, all the Sfarim say, this world is kolo chashiv, this world is nothing. Let's close our eyes and just walk straight through the wall. It's not even there. And the Baal Tanya grabbed Rav Levi Yitzchak by the hand. He said, this world is kilo chashiv. It's like nothing, but it's not nothing. The wall's there. You can't just walk through the wall. That's that balance that we live with on Tisha B'av. On the one hand, to feel the pain in the most real way, to engage in the questions, to challenge the Ribono Shel Olam, to feel the pain, not chas v'shalom to ignore the pain. The pain is very real. But to be able to be okay with it, to live with it, that's the key to the Geula Shleima. So Mirtz Hashem, we should all be zocha to understand this message. But we begin with the Aleph of Pesach, the beginning of the Geula. We try to finish up on Tisha B'av. If by Pesach we have enough strength to maybe leave off with one strong question, a bam kasha on the Ribono Shel Olam, to get a part of a gula, a partial gula, an imperfect gula. Here it's Hashem, if we have the strength to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to ask the questions on Tisha B'av, to unload our feelings and those emotional, the pain that we have onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Tisha B'av, but to be able to pick ourselves up afterwards and to move on. And Mirtz Hashem will be zochet to the Geula Shleima. We'll have an Eliyahu HaNavi, the one who comes to answer all the tekus, all the big questions. Tishbi Yataris Kushus Abayas. This is one explanation. Right? We'll be zochet to an Eliyahu HaNavi to answer the questions. We'll be zochet to Mashiach Tzidkenu to answer the questions. And Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Kvodo V'Atzom, will come and lift us up, to pick us up on Tisha B'Av from sitting on the floor, bring us back to Yerushalayim, with the Binyan Shleima V'Amitas from here B'Aminu.